Go to Romans chapter 5 this afternoon. Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse number 5. Verse number 4. But before we do, let's say our people that are listening to us by phone, give us a call at 856-261-9018. Or give us an email, questions@bftbc.org. Glad to have you with us. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Just say hello or make a comment or have a question. Now let's get a pickup in verse 3. So we'll go 3, 4, and 5 together. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. By verse 3, so pick up last time, Romans 5 and verse 3. Last week we had the verse number 3, but let's just have it. But talking about rejoicing in the hope of glory of God, and then verse number 3, not only so, but what do we glory in here, at least Paul, not all of us, what do we glory in here? In verse 3, any hands on that? Yes, Paul. Hope and glory in tribulation. What does it mean to glory in tribulation? Any hands on that? Yeah, Paul?
Adversities that may come along or control over circumstances
All right. Is that easy or difficult? Yeah, to attend, go ahead.
It's like rejoicing in the Lord in the midst of our tribulations. And glory. So that's
good. Do you think that all genuine Christians all over the world do rejoice in tribulation? Why do they not? Did Paul rejoice in tribulation? Did Paul have any tribulation? And he had a lot of tribulation. What does it take to rejoice in trouble? Any hands on that? What does it take to rejoice in trouble? Yes,
Tran. We have to know that Jesus is giving us those troubles so that we'll have patience.
All right. Let's go ahead, Tam.
I have the proper perspective.
Yes, Paul?
And to also know that Jesus is always with us, we're not alone.
All right. Does trouble sometimes help the Christian believers? And if so, how? Any hands on that? Does trouble help genuine Christians? Yes.
Is it stronger?
Is it stronger? That's right. Is there any Christian that never had any trouble? No. If you don't have any, what is it?
Maybe.
Some people, but yes, Tanya.
Well, those are dead.
Those are dead and no more trouble. That's right. Those that Christians with the Lord have no more trouble. That's very good. It's fine, and that's what we should do. We should think about it. So, in verse 3, tribulation worth making. Then the next thing in that list is verse number 4. What's that next thing? Albert, good to see you. Come in. What's the next thing in verse 4? What is it? What is patience work? We're in chapter 4 of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 4. Romans 5, verse 4. Yeah, Pastor Dan, go ahead. She's coming, good.
Well, I'm working from South Carolina. I'm just checking in to say hello. I am turning to the Bible study this afternoon. David asked to work today. I'm looking forward to the Bible study in Romans. Rebecca
Howell. Let's wave to Rebecca in South Carolina, way over there. Thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate that very much. And thank you for your call. We're in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 4. Now, we've started the first link. First link is, hope is the first link, I guess, in verse number 3. And then we went to tribulation, works patience. And after patience, verse 4, what's next? What is next in verse 4 after patience? Yes, Joanne.
Experience.
What do you think that would mean, say?
That you're going to learn.
All right. Okay. So, yes, Anna, fine.
It is true that when a Christian has a lot of tribulation and everything, you realize it's a result of it. And here it says patience comes with tribulation.
Yes, patience.
You didn't listen to how it's dumbfounded or something.
How would you define patience? And hands on that. How would you define patience? Okay.
Putting up with circumstances.
Okay, putting up with difficult circumstances. That's very important. Then, how would we define experience? Now, we know generally, but.
Say it again.
how would you define experience? Patience, and then comes experience after patience. And it hands on that, how would you define that type of experience? Yvonne?
Well, if you've lived through trouble in your life, that gives you experience
how
to deal with trouble, and to understand. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not as horrible as you would have thought before. You didn't have about 10 other examples of
yeah.
problems.
That's right. Do babies have much experience? Newborn baby? No, they haven't lived through anything. That's right, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say experience is time. But that's the more time you have, the more experience. As you get older, mm-hmm. that's considered experience because you've gone through those different mm-hmm. tribulations or whatever.
Right. Do all genuine Christians have the same experiences? In the hands of that? Mm-hmm. Do they?
No.
No, they don't. They're all different. Yeah,
fine. Some don't appear to have any problems at all. You know, even un-Christians sometimes. And some Christians, so many things happened to them. My parents, for instance, are an example of something terrible happening with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And because of their experience in the past, they know God is there and will help mm-hmm. you through, even though it's hard.
Yes.
Sometimes you're so used to it, people look at you and think, aren't you going to cry or aren't you going to be upset?
Yeah. You say apparently some Christians have, no problem. Sometimes appearances are deceiving. Yes, fine.
Then I'm thinking of a certain person that they seem like they never had any problems, and then as the man got older, all of a sudden the problems were dumped on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't used to the family wasn't used to that.
Mm-hmm. When you have bad experiences, are you usually happy when they've disappeared? Yeah, glad they're gone. I'm glad they're gone. But you see, the hope, and then we got patience, and then experience. And after experience, what's the last next one, verse 4?
Hope.
And how do we define that hope, Albert? And we had it before, but go ahead. Hope of the glory of God in verse 2. Yeah. How do we define hope in that sense, Albert?
In that sense, it's a continuance of building on each layer of patience, experience, hope.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been through things, you have a more of a solid foundation. You
mm-hmm.
believe that other things will work out, or that mm-hmm. you're going to get through the next circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that hope is something you can share with other people because you have been through it.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says there's nothing you haven't been through.
Yes.
Your brothers in Christ haven't been through before. So
mm-hmm. Yes. That's true. Pastor Dan.
James chapter 1, verse 2. My brother, we found all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, the primary fruit word is patience.
Very good. Now, that's James.
James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4.
2 to 4. James 1.
What things are the fruit word? You may be perfect. It is everyone, nothing.
Yep. Yvonne.
Romans, you
don't
have Romans here, but I was
going to
look up patience.
No, we don't have that.
Is there another verse of patience
then? Well, I'm
sure
there are plenty of verses of patience.
I think
you had a couple
reference.
No? Yes. Joanne?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. That's your ear. It's when the hand goes above the heart, I usually call on people. All right, now, there's another wonderful verse that has the word hope in it. Any hands on that? Who's got that verse? Another wonderful verse that has hope. I'll give you a hint. The first word, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? Any hands on that? Hands on anybody? Yes, sir. Joanne?
Spending eternity with our Lord and Savior.
Well, that's true, but also Tammy?
The rapture.
The rapture? How would you define the rapture? Any hands on that? How would you define that? Yes, try.
Those that are still here on earth will be caught up.
Everybody in the whole world?
Excuse me?
Everybody on earth, everyone's going to be caught up?
Oh, no, only those that are saved.
Oh, yes. The truth.
Those that are in the grave,
yes.
And then those of us that are saved and here on earth.
Genuine Christians will be caught up. The blessed hope. That's good. So we're now over to experience, and experience works hope because we know that God's going to take care of it. And what is true of verse 5? Excuse me, Tammy.
You always have the word glory.
Oh, yes.
This is where I was getting the parallel of rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Where he rejoice, but now for a season, if need be, your heaviness to manifold temptations. But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the ultimate purpose that we can rejoice in is this, what God is doing through his trials.
Yes. Through the trial. Yeah. Amen. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. All right, so it's in verse hope. What does it mean, this verse 5? Did we read 5 yet? You read 5, didn't we? Let me see. Read 5 and 6, okay. What is true of hope? The special Christian hope in verse number 5. What is true of hope? Any hands on that? And what does it mean? Yeah, help me.
Make it not ashamed.
Okay, in what sense do you think?
We're not ashamed of sharing the gospel that we've been given to other people, and that's our hope that we're sharing with others.
Yeah, that's good. Doesn't make ashamed. Yeah, Pat, Pastor Dan.
There's a comment from Bob Lynn Walls about the word, experience. There's a Christian song that says, "How I've proven him for and o'er."
Yes. Very good. Bonnie. Let's wave to Bonnie in California. Bonnie is still trying to take the Bible, selling the Bibles out of California. That's a sad situation. Thank you for calling, Bonnie. Call again as well. I'm sorry you couldn't hear the morning service originally, but it finally came through fine. I'm glad it worked out. So, hope not make a shame. And because what in verse number 5? What is the reason why hope does not make a shame? Pat Tammy?
The love of God
is shed abroad. Now, our hearts, who's the our referred to?
The saved.
The saved, the genuine Christian people. Is that Pastor Hank? I don't know.
Another comment here. From,
okay.
South Carolina. Comment about Romans 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar circumstance that I'm going through right now, personally, in my job as a criminologist. Is only the same type of experience I went through on my former job. The first experience gives me hope. Now, my patience in the Lord, then I used to draw upon as being patient now. The second time around, in a similar experience, is not at all as bad as the first time. I thank the Lord, or rather I thank the Lord for giving me spiritually from growing spiritually for the first experience, so I can stand firmer in the Lord and know that He's working and His will be done. Rebecca.
Good. This waves to Rebecca Howell in South Carolina. Thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate that very much. She's a criminologist. So she's a doctor of philosophy and criminology. She's really doing a good job. Thank you very much for your comment. And so the love of God is shed abroad. In the R, who's the R for it? Did we already cover that? Who's the, yeah, Paul, who's the R?
He's talking about believers.
Believers, genuine Christians, that's right. Shed abroad in our hearts, by whom? Any hands on your
hand? By the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is one which is given unto us. Who's the us referred to? Who's the us referred to?
The saved.
Saved, genuine Christians again. It's only the genuine Christians that the love of God, by the Holy Spirit. How many people have the Holy Spirit indwelling them? Any hands on that? How many people have the Holy Spirit indwelling them? Albert?
Only
the saved. Here she comes.
It's a miracle.
Steve, hi, good to see you. Whoops. She came the song of the call. Quick. See if I get away. I got it. Yes, Jacob and Dale from Texas. Go ahead. Jacob and Dale for
Castaway.
Yeah, go ahead, Jacob.
Well, Castaway, that song, it's 4:10 in our songbook. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Yes.
Castaway, do you remember when Pastor Yoon sung this in the church 4 years ago after the DBS? That was the first one I watched.
Oh, is that right? I don't remember that, but it's interesting. Pastor Yoon, Dr. Yoon. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Good. Well, thank you very much, Jacob. Let's wave to Jacob in Texas. Jacob and his mother, Dale. Mrs. Grohl, that's right. Thank you very much for the call. other people call questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Okay, Jill, as we come in, we're in verse number, was it number 6? I asked the question of you, I guess everybody answered it. How many people in this world does the Holy Spirit indwell? How many people, what kind of people does the Holy Spirit indwell? Joanne?
Only the saved.
Only saved. And will the Holy Spirit ever withdraw and leave the genuine Christian? Any hands on that? No? Yeah, Bill?
Just before the rapture.
He will leave?
Well,
the Holy Spirit will leave us?
The Holy Spirit, he's going to leave the earth if there were rapture.
Well,
Bill is referring to the verse in 2 Thessalonians, and it's because the church is taken up to heaven, There's no longer the Holy Spirit on
down
earth,
below, yeah.
But he's never going to leave us.
Never going to leave the Christian believer. He'll be with us.
But he'll leave the world.
Yes.
He'll leave the world, yeah. The restrainer is removed.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. And so... Yes, Joanne?
I have a question.
Yes.
When will the 144,000 Jews be saved if the Holy Spirit is leaving?
All right. Tammy?
Revelation chapter 7.
Well, the 144,000, so the Holy Spirit will be there on...
they're sealed in chapter 7 of Revelation.
Yes. Well, now, what is one of the attributes of God the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son? And hands on that. What is one of the attributes? Yeah, back to them.
Omnipresent.
What does that mean? What, yeah, Sam?
He's everywhere present.
So that means he never leaves the earth. He's everywhere present, right? So he doesn't leave the earth when the church is raptured. He's always here, and that's how the 144,000 be saved. He's still the Holy Spirit here. Any other kind of question than that? Yeah, Albert.
Isn't his departure with the rapture the protection left on our mind that he's not present or omnipresent with him?
That's right. It's very good. Let me catch this before I get this. I get in time. Yes, Jacob. We'll follow up. Go ahead, Jacob. Protections.
Oh, Pastor Wade.
Yes.
Yeah, that tribulation period, that'll be the 7th week of Daniel, right?
Right, that's right.
Well, it would be of necessity. It would go back to the old economy, the Old Testament economy, as far as the Holy Spirit, to where he would come up a person for whatever God's purpose would be for that person for that purpose. And then, not an indwelling like we have now, not a personal. The main reason I called Pastor Wade, I almost forgot again. I might want to say thank you so much for that. The closer man called Brighton with the MSN to tell her to take that.
Oh, good.
She said her knees are more than 90% better now.
More than 90% better. How many pills does she take in the morning? How many in the evening?
I'll have to go real close to her. I got that computer up.
Well, that's okay.
I think it's 4.
4 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon.
How
about you? How many? Okay, is it still, if it helps her, that's fine. If she needs to go 3 and 3 or 4 and 4, we'll work that too. Albert? What you got? Thank you very much. Wave to Dale and Jacob Romer in Texas. Okay, to, Albert.
Feeling better.
Good.
3 and 3.
3 and 3, that's good. There are still got cartilage bounce, okay? Hope everybody works out of it. Cartilage. That's good. So I'm very glad. Did we wave to Jacob and his wife, his mother? Okay, we did. Okay. Yeah, we're glad that that's helped. Yeah, Vaughn.
I take a little sleep in 3 or 4 days.
3 or 4.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where some people won't take it or they won't take it long enough.
Mm-hmm. I take it also, 4 in the morning, 4 at night. So worked out fine for about 10, 15 years, and it's very helpful. So now let me ask you this. Let's go to good, Tim. Yeah. Is the ministry of the Holy Spirit the same in the church age as it is in the law of Moses? Yeah.
That's what Jacob was saying, and that's what he's getting at with Revelation.
All right.
Because the Holy Spirit will come upon in power,
mm-hmm.
but in these
particular 144,000 actually sealed by the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that they were. I don't know exactly how that fits in. It's just mm-hmm. they're sealed in their in servants of, the God, of God in their forehead. Mm-hmm. So but he's not actively in the world the way mm-hmm. he was when the church was there, because the gospel is going forward for people,
mm-hmm.
and there's only two witnesses, and these 144,000 that are sharing the gospel mm-hmm. of the kingdom.
After the rapture, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Is it the same as it was before the rapture? Any hands on that? What is the main purpose that is no longer effective?
Being a comforter in the absence of Christ.
A comforter, that's one thing. What else is a little different than after the rapture rather than before? What is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in this world right now? Here's what an R.
Restraining.
What does restraining mean?
Holding back
from sin. Ten?
He restrains sin.
Restrains sin. And see, once the Holy Spirit is removed, no more will be the restraint. It will be wide open. The tribulation period is just wide open. Sin all over the place. He won't have. He'll be here. He will not be the restraining ministry. Restraining ministry. That's the difference. And so there will be lots and lots of trouble. And he will not restrain that trouble. He just let it go. To Jill.
To the point, I think where it seems like not only will they be welcoming the Antichrist, they'll be, probably even celebrating him.
Oh, yes, yes.
He will reign that much.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that much.
The temp?
And the wrath of God will be poured out on the man.
Yes. Wrath of God will be poured out. And questions at bftbc.org, rate 56261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. And so, in verse... Chapter 5, yes. Chapter 5 and verse... Yeah, go ahead.
And I don't know what to read, what not to read.
Well, you said something about the difference. It was a glory. What word you want to look up?
The patient experience experiences hope. Yeah. The Greek word for experience is dakana. It means proving trials. If you said this already,
no, we haven't said it.
Approve the tried character, approve the specimen of tried work, that which has been tried, approved after the test. If we have tribulation, we feel like we are in a vice, and it's pressing us on all sides. If we have patience after tribulation, we're going to gain experience. We have lived through this very difficult time. We do not have to fear what might be coming next. If our life gets a little worse than before, we'll be able to put up with it victoriously because God has given us the patience to put up with it. We now have experience. I remember all the various difficulties throughout my ministry and life up to this point in time. I tried to be faithful to Christ in everything I did and every place I preached. This was true when I was with the Navy or the Marines or the Navy chaplain for 5 years of active duty. Or wherever I was, I tried to be faithful to the Lord and His words regardless of what the fitness reports were. And whatever the other people said about me, they wrote up some pretty bad things sometimes because I believe the Bible and my superior officers did not. God will permit you to go through what is coming next because of the experience you've already undergone. After experience, you gain hope because you know that the end is near. You know that these uncomfortable trials cannot last forever because you have had the experience of it before. You have had trouble with them. But then there's the easement of the pain. God has provided a way out for you.
Okay, well, thank you for the reading for the book of Romans.
It's
interesting. Thank you for reading for the book of Romans. All right, so we finished 5. You're not ashamed. The Holy Spirit shed abroad in her the love of God. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is love, isn't it? One of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. All right. So, did we read 6 yet? I don't know whether we did or not.
Yeah.
Did we read 6? What is true of this verse of the people that he's writing about? And who are the we that he's talking about? Any hands on that? Who is the we referred to and what is he saying? Yep, Albert. And Tim.
The unsaved prior to salvation.
Well, is it speaking to the unsaved now, or is it referring to certain people? Okay. So, it's speaking to ones that present there, saved or lost?
Saved,
but then before, speaking about what they were before, that's right, when they're lost. Yeah, 10.
But it refers to everyone.
Yes, that's right. And we refer to the whole world, all the unsaved people in the world. That's true. But specifically, it's true of everybody. We speak of we, in other words, we're now Christian, but before. But it's true of everyone that all are lost and all are. What does it mean without strength? Any hands on that? Albert?
Being saved is more reference towards spiritual strength
than physical strength. All right. That's right. Not spiritual strength. No, but without any strength. Now, what does in due time mean? Any hands on that? In due time. Yeah, Tim?
When the fullness of time has come, thank you, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law.
All right, the fullness of time. So in due time. All right, but what is it? What does this mean? Certain time in the due time. Due time, Joanna.
Well, God knew when he was going to send it, but those on earth didn't know. I mean, at the time. So in due time, it was God's time that they're talking about.
All right, at that.
Prophesied
in the Old Testament. And so the proper time fulfilled all of those prophecies. And God's perfect timing. Did the world know
what
the time that he's talking about here? Any questions? No. It was a surprise. You see, but what did you hear, Tim?
And even the Jews who had the scriptures, they didn't. They weren't caught up. They didn't realize
that
they recognized their Savior.
Yes. He's going to leave.
No, that's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, when, as Tammy said earlier, when the fullness of the time was come, in other words, when it was due time, fullness of time, was the proper time. Now, how many years from creation, roughly, did the Lord Jesus come to earth the first time? How many years from creation? Yes.
2,000 years, right?
All right. Well, let's get this first, because if I get this off my... If I get it off my belt... I think I got it. Okay. At Jacob, right? At Jacob of Texas.
Go ahead. Pastor Wade, give me that verse is Galatians 4:4.
All right.
And 5... when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Yes.
And this other one I wanted to call in before Tammy mentioned that, because this one goes with that quite well.
Yes.
And it's Colossians 1:25-27, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of the mystery to the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes. Greg, what's your reference again?
That one I just read was Colossians 1:25-27.
Okay.
And the one that Tammy included was Galatians 4:4-6.
Okay. All right, thank you. Let's wave a hand to Jacob. Jacob over there in Texas. Thank you very much. Pastor Dan had something. Go ahead, Pastor Dan.
Are we asking how many years
since creation?
Since the incarnation?
No, since creation. Yeah. In other words, what is the date that we believe that creation took place?
How many years did it take for the incarnation to come, take place from creation?
From creation.
4,000 years.
4,000 years. See, that's what we believe the chronology is of the Bible, 4,000 B.C. Do the scientists agree with 4,000 B.C.?
No.
No. How many, what years do they say? How many millions?
Millions of years.
Millions and millions. Even billions. See, but anyway, it took a long time for the Lord Jesus to come here, Bob.
In Romans 5:6, according to this book, the Lord Jesus Christ did not come into this world to die for our sins at just any time in history. It was in due time. It was the proper time. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. This fullness of time was exactly at the right time. At that time, God sent sent forth his Son into this wicked world to die for the sins of the world. When did he do it? It was when we were yet without strength. And occasion, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. I was without strength, but my strength is made perfect in weakness. He had a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:7. This verse says that in Christians in Rome, to the Christians in Rome, Christ died for the ungodly. I wrote a book entitled Captain's Error, but then you go on to talk about that. But it's very interesting what you say about in due time.
All right, very good. In due time, Christ died. That was in due time, verse number 6. Who did he die for? Okay. What are some of the people lyingly, falsely say he died for? Hands on that? Yeah,
the
man?
The elect only.
Just the elect only. That's horrible. Just a tiny little people called elect. We believe he loved the whole world and died for the whole world, and he died right here for the ungodly, all the ungodly people. All right, let's read then. We read the verse 6, did we? We haven't read 7 yet, have we? Have you read 7 yet?
No.
Well, let's read 7, 8, and 9 together. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. Okay, verse, what does scarcely mean? And it has in it? Scarcely. Yeah, that's it.
Rarely.
Rarely, right? Rarely and practically never. For a righteous man, how would you define a righteous man? Any hands on that? A righteous man. Talking about somebody dying for a righteous man. Yes, Joanne?
Well, a righteous man wouldn't sin.
All right.
But yet, we all sin, so none of us are righteous.
Right.
How could anybody be righteous?
Well, that's true. Just by comparison,
I guess we think of it as someone who is been good to us,
yes,
versus someone who's been our enemy.
Right. In other words, if somebody's a good person, good man, good woman, and somebody takes their place and takes the bullet that's fed to them, covers them, the person, a good person. In other words, they'll die for them. That's scarcely righteous. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Now, what's this for the righteous and the good? Oh, yes.
And then
Jill.
People primarily of the world would define the word good in different ways.
All right.
The good is relative, but we as Christians know it's not relative. You have to be right with God, Christian, and obedient, and you know, God is sanctified, but even though we do have that flesh nature of sins, that we're always, you know, butting heads against it sometimes.
What's the distinction that Paul makes between righteous man and good man? Which is better, which you have?
Righteous and my perspective of what I mean is righteous is before God, we're good at before man.
All right. That's possible. What else? Anything else? Distinction, Paul?
Couldn't righteous mean that after you're saved, you get the Holy, even though we're still sinners, we're saved by grace, but couldn't righteous mean that after you're saved, even though we sin, we have the Holy Spirit within us?
That's possible. Tammy.
Well, it's two different words. We scarcely, that's rarely, for a righteous man, and perhaps for a good man. So neither one is happening very often.
All right. My question, I guess, is, go ahead, Troy.
Well, what comes to mind is a book we had to read in school, and I don't even remember if it was Tale of Two Cities or whatever, where that man died for another man because he didn't, you know, and he snuck into jail and then he pretended to be that man and he was the one that was executed. Instead, I don't know, was it Tale of Two Cities? What was the name of the book? It was a French.
I don't know.
And,
Sorry. And then, you know, he snuck into jail. He gave him his cloak and he comes out, you know, and he died.
Yes, Von Lynn from California. Go ahead, Von Lynn Walls.
Yes, hi, Dr. Wade. My question is, since the scripture says that you there be that find it, you know, eternal life with the Lord, even though that he knew that only a few would find him, it's just amazing that he would still consider to think that was enough. What are your comments on that, or what's your thought on that?
Thank you. Okay, Brian, thank you. Let's wave the Brian walls in California. All right, thank you. Any thoughts on that? Does God ever say it's enough? No more I need to have to come to the Lord. Dan?
Well, his love is for all mankind.
Right.
So that's the expanse of his, I mean, that's his character.
Uh-huh.
He, his character, he's love. And so he died for everyone. And so, remind me of your question again.
In other words, after God saves many, many people, does he ever say that's sufficient, I don't want to save anymore? I think that's what she said. Isn't that what you were getting at?
I thought she was getting at
something else. Okay, tell me what you think she's getting at.
I don't care.
Okay.
Well, no. Isn't it that we're waiting for the cup to be filled?
Maybe.
That when a certain number have been saved,
yes,
then that's when the rapture is going to take place.
That's it. That was great. Maybe that's what she said.
Or even the
Tammy, then Jim.
The death of Christ. Because there's so many people that aren't saved.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's what she was getting at. Maybe she should call and help clarify.
Okay.
What
she
was saying.
Yeah, Jill.
Well, I'm not sure if someone in the Bible says this, or maybe it's my impression, but thinking that God, you know, would not have the rapture come until every last person that he knows is going to be saved is saved too. Every last one, forget about a whole old group as well,
yes,
collectively, but
yes,
you know, more minutely or whatever, like every last, yes, like individual, uh-huh, person and soul.
Yes. That's good. Well, Bonlin, some of us, could you call again and clarify your question? That'd be great. Maybe I mistook it. Maybe somebody else will click. So give us a call, 856-261-9018. Or questions at bftbc.org. Now, yes. Joanne.
Well, that's also how you explain the elect. God knows from the time we're born if we're going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He knows,
mm-hmm,
you know. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't go out and tell people,
mm-hmm,
about Jesus and,
mm-hmm,
how to be saved. It's just that only God knows,
right,
who's going to be saved from the time we're born.
Yeah.
He knows.
But if God knows we're going to be saved, how does salvation happen? Does he do the job, or do people have to trust the Lord Jesus on their own? See,
yes.
Here's Brandon's calling again. Here's you. Yes, Brandon, clarify your question, please. We've got it all different ones.
Okay. Well, you know, the scripture talks about how from the foundation of the world, God foreknew, you know, each of us. But what I'm getting at is, since God knew that only a few would, you know, go look for him and find him in Jesus, my question is, that just seems amazing to me that even though he knew that you would find him, he still went ahead and sent Jesus to die for us. And it just, you know, I wonder if, that's my question, is how is it that even knowing there would only be a few that would find him, he would still go ahead and die. I just wonder, you know, that it's amazing to me that he would follow through on that plan, even though the majority of people are not going to, you know, look to him.
Good.
And I just, it seems, I mean, I wish more people would come to him, but I just wondered what your perspective on that was.
Okay, thank you very much. Bill's got his hand. Thank you. Let's wave again to Bonlin Walls from California, where they're taking away the Bibles. No longer can you publish.
Yeah. So I think that we're putting limits on God. That's what the problem is. I mean, God knows everything.
Well, are we limiting him, though?
No.
Not limiting him. No, I don't think so. Yeah, Bill, for go ahead.
First of all, God loves the entire world. When he destroyed the world at the time of Noah's flood, he was very heartbroken at that time. He wants all to come to salvation, but he knows
because he sees through time.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that many people will not come. So that's his foreknowledge. He sees all things throughout all time.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows ahead of time. He didn't put anything in the mind of a person to say, well, we don't want you to come to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything like that. He doesn't hinder anyone. He gives every person an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to us to take that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Was Tammy? Tammy first. Get in, Jill.
It was a very profound question.
Yes.
That was very heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
I mean, I think it goes down to God's character.
Mm-hmm.
And his love. He mm-hmm. loves all mankind. He created them with a free will, like Phil was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so, although God is involved in salvation to the extent that he's giving us the word of God,
mm-hmm.
we have to accept it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want robots.
Right.
He wants people that are actually going to love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe.
Well, show is based on what Paul was saying, being amazed, so amazed, and you know, studying mm-hmm. on Constantine's as well. But you know, the depth and the immeasurable love that's just totally incomprehensible to us that we try to comprehend. We can only comprehend it between pages of this Bible.
Yes.
And we won't be able to comprehend it in more of its fullness until we get to heaven and get our raptured bodies that are.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect bodies,
yes. He's
perfect, and go up and be with him. Then we'll know the meaning of immeasurable love in more of its entirety of what how deep it is, even in a more profound way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good. Yeah, Paul.
God said, Jesus said in his word, Jesus Christ said in his word, whosoever will come to him.
Yes. Now, my understanding of what she was getting at, she. Well, just remind me what I was going to say. Yeah, Barbara LeMaster from Jersey. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi, Pastor Wayne. Hi, everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is under condemnation. Only God could have fixed the problem. So he's treating everybody equally. If all have sinned, then the solution was that all could be saved. But it comes down to a matter of who accepts it.
Yes.
And straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it.
Yes.
It wasn't a matter of, yes, he knew that only a few would find it, but the problem is all have sinned. So therefore, the problem had to be fixed for all.
Yes, very good, Barbara. Let's wave to Barbara LeMaster there in North Jersey. Right here, close by doors. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Another question.
2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that some may count slackness, but is long suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Good, that's good. Yes, Joanne. Mm-hmm.
Well, is it possible that God can change his mind? Because
yes, God can change his mind. Many right. times has he changed his mind.
He talked about, you know, in the beginning where he was upset with his people and the Exodus, right?
Yes.
And he said to Moses, I'm going to destroy these people
that's
and
right.
I'll make all new ones.
That's right, he changed
and
his
Moses,
mind.
Right, and Moses talked him out of it, right?
Right,
he
right.
said to him, don't do this.
Yes.
And I mean, there's other times when he was, you know, when Abraham tried to talk him out of, you know, killing everybody in, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah,
yes.
and said to him, if I find 10, if I
50,
find
40,
five,
20, 10,
know,
yeah, that's
right. So he was trying to talk him out of it.
Right.
So maybe God can change his mind.
Oh, yes. He can change his mind for the better. That's right. Now, my question might be, see, it is true. What Bonnie Walls from California said is absolutely true. God already knew there'd be very, very tiny few of people that would trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, but he still sent him to die for the sins of the world. The problem, the situation is, he made provision for every single soul that ever lived. Provision. But the application and genuineness must be that trust in Christ as their own. They must perceive what he did for them. And that's the thing. So, it's amazing. The Lord didn't care whether just a few, you know, relatively few are going to trust Christ as their Savior. He made provision for everybody, hoping that a lot of them would come. He's not going to force them to come. Yeah, Tammy and then Jill.
Well, don't you think that's because you can't deny who he is.
Right.
God himself is one of his main attributes is love.
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't, and he is also holy.
Right.
So that's why he had to send his son.
Exactly. Yeah, Jill.
I'm trying to think out how to phrase this, but
phrase away.
Different people cried out to God, you know, whether, you know, interestingly, whether people are for, you know, those in the Bible who cried out to God.
Yes.
Whether it's for their own sins or in intercessory prayer on behalf of other people or right. like whatever. Or,
right.
And that she's decided more for Sodom and Gomorrah, for mm-hmm. the country and the people who are living in Sodom and Gomorrah, or were living in there at that time. Well, you know, God knows in advance, you know, what prayers are going to be answered, and whose prayers are going to be answered, and exactly what they're going to pray in advance, and how they're going to answer, and what mm-hmm. they're going to, you know, say in their prayers.
Yes.
But, you know, these individuals, like David, for example, was a man after God's own heart, just
right.
a man after God's own heart. You know, we could see how deep he was praying, not just for, you know, broken contriteness in his sin that he did against God, mm-hmm. his previous sins against God, but also being a righteous man. And, you know, before that and then after he did all that sitting and still crying out to God and everything mm-hmm. like that, God knew the depth of his brokenness and his heart and his sincerity and his earnestness and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he answered his prayers. I mean, God mm-hmm. answered prayers in a general sense and mm-hmm. sensing someone's heart and how it really is and it's really mm-hmm. honest and broken and true towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he means to as well, if it's his will, you know, but, you know, someone's going to be, I guess, so broken for that God, even though he knows he's going to change his mind in advance, he could change his mind at a certain time that he will do it, the time that he knows he's going to change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll just, you know, I guess, I would say, quote-unquote, change it. I mean, he is unchangeable and immutable, you know, mm-hmm. but I'm just trying to gather these thoughts in my mind.
Yes.
You know,
well, that's very good. But God did love the whole world and made provision for the whole world through the Lord Jesus Christ. Died for the sins of the whole world, but he knew in advance that just a relatively small percentage, considering the billions and billions and billions of all the people, would open their hearts and trust him. He knew that because he's omniscient. He still loved the whole world and provided for the whole. It's interesting. All right, so, where that? Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Pastor Dan, go ahead.
I saw a spiritual lesson. This is come out of Justified, verse 5-9. For Rebecca Powell from
yes.
I saw a spiritual lesson yesterday concerning justification, the Lord's precious, clean, righteous blood applied to us sinners. That lesson I found in all places, Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby, okay.
That the racehorse Justified broke a 136-year record winning the Kentucky Derby and seemingly an underdog. First thing the rider, Mike Smith, did was give our Lord Jesus Christ credit, glory, and praise for the win. He did this both visibly and on the horse right after he crossed the finish line. Mike Smith then gave the Lord the glory and thanks his very first sentence he made to the media. Mike's countenance was one of humility, one of sincere appreciation for the Lord's favor. It was wonderful to see Mike's humble testimony on national television. What is more, it was very symbolic for spiritual perspective to see that the horse justified and the rider completely clean, not dirty, at all from mud, flying everywhere. The rest of the racehorses were completely filthy and muddy. The spiritual parallels were a very nice lesson, instructing me about being clean by the Lord's righteousness and giving the Lord all the glory and credit.
Amen. Let's wave to Rebecca Howell. That's a wonderful statement, Rebecca. Thank you very much. Kentucky Derby. I'm glad that man gave the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful
indeed. The second Ace Horse name was Promise.
Second Ace of Promise.
Yes. Did you see
it?
You saw the Derby.
I
heard it. Clips. Seriously. That's wonderful. Thank you very much, Rebecca. Appreciate your call. Call again anytime. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. So that was in verse number. Now, the question I had before these different calls and subjects, who is the top of the line? Righteous or good? Who's number one? Who's number two?
Righteous.
Righteous. That's right. And that's the, see, remember the three different things here. Come to the next verse. There's one, two, three. Righteous, good, and wicked and sinful. See? So, righteous is top, good is next. And plus, did we read that next verse? Scarcely a righteous man die, prevents some of good man. But, did we read verse 8?
Yes.
We read, okay. What is but? What kind of a conjunction is but? And he answered, yeah, Tam?
An adversative.
Adversative conjunction. Completely different. Not an and, but on the other hand.
Did you say a reversible conjunction?
Adversative. Adversative. It's just like an adversary. It's opposite. It's just, see, all the first two, righteous and good, but on the other hand, completely different than that.
The opposite.
Scarcely. Then, but what is God? Verse number 8. But what does the but refer to? What's the next few words after that? And then pretty hands on that. Yes. Good. Damn.
Well, instead of us being righteous or yes. good, we were sinners.
And what did God do for the sinners in verse number 8?
He died for us.
In the first part of the verse, what did he do?
He showed his love.
He showed his love toward us. In that, what? While we were yet sinners. What happened? What happened? While we were yet sinners, what happened then? Christ died for us. Who's the us referred back to? What's the us referred
back?
The whole world. The whole world. Yes, the whole world. All the sinners of the world. In our place was the Lord Jesus Christ, a sinner. No, he was not.
He knew no sin.
He knew no sin, was righteous, perfect man, perfect, perfect God, perfect man. Absolutely perfect. But he died for sin. If he were a sinner, could he have successfully died for sinners?
No.
It had to be righteous to die for sinners. And once he's on the cross, what happened to the sins of the world? Any hands on that? Yes. Ten.
Laid upon him.
Now, after his resurrection, what happened to the sins that were laid upon him?
He brought them up.
What is it?
He brought them up and set them before God the Father, didn't he, in heaven?
Well,
down there?
That's possible. Tammy, how would you phrase it?
Well, his blood covered, made atonement for mm-hmm. his sins
and
by placing his blood on the altar.
All right. Now, once the sins of the whole world were placed in the body of the Lord Jesus, he bore them, carried them. Did they stay with him and on him completely for the rest of eternity? Albert.
They were crucified along with the old man.
Crucified. And when did the sins leave the Lord Jesus Christ that he bore in his body?
At his resurrection.
At his resurrection. See, if he were not resurrected, if he still had the sins of this whole world on him, could he be resurrected, given new life? No, he could not.
Maybe he left them in hell when he went.
Well, they're paid for. I don't know how God just took them all away. He washed them clean as all as possible. Yes, Bob?
I always thought before sins, I didn't think he was put in the grave with the sins on him.
No, he bore the sins. He carried the sins. And after 3 days and three nights, what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ?
He rose again.
Bodily. And bodily rose. Bodily raised from the dead. And indicates that now he's absolutely. Does he have any more sins in his own body?
No.
No, they're gone.
And he did go before hell. They said
as far as the Sheol, he went down to Sheol, and he took those Hebrew Christian Hebrew believers out of the caravan. Was it? Yeah, captive, left gift to men. He took those people out of the paradise section of Sheol and took them to glory. So that's the only way. But he didn't go to the fiery Gehenna of hell. See, now that's what
the body was staying in the grave then? Just
the soul and the spirit? Just soul and spirit. Yes, they were not bodily resurrected. That's the resurrection kind of future. Their bodily resurrection future is like the Christian's future. Spiritual soul, as soon as we die, they're genuine Christians. We go to heaven immediately. The Pastor Dan and the body.
Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also he arisen with him to the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead, and being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, having quickened together with him, and having forgiven us all transgression blotting out the handwriting ordinance that was against us, was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailing it to his cross.
All right, that's good. In other words, if I...
When Jesus died, when he rose again, somewhere in there, bodies came out of the grave.
Yes, some of them came out.
Christian people?
Hebrew Old Testament people. Old Testament for quite a bit. Some 5,000, wasn't it?
I don't remember, but there were around
500. 500.
So then when Jesus went to heaven, I forgot my question. So the people that are living, did they go to heaven? Or did their bodies go back to the grave?
Probably went back to the grave. I think they rose up temporarily.
Isn't it strange to walk around alive and go lie down in the grave?
Well, I'm not sure. It could have gone to heaven. They could have been raised again from heaven. Not sure. But the thing about it is, we've got to realize and believe that when the Lord Jesus took in his own body as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, that those sins were accepted as paid for by the Father. The Father accepted his payment for sin and therefore raised him up from the grave. In other words, sin was paid for. He wouldn't raise a sinful person from among his brother's sins. Not that he was ever sinful, but never a person that still had the sins with him and in heaven take those sins. It's been paid. It is paid for completely and totally. That's what I believe the resurrection would indicate. But, yes, to Jill.
I think, you know, when we're raptured, it's like a symbolic sign of what Christ did for us when he rose. And God, you know, the fact is that God took his sins away and everything before he rose and knew he took them away. And they were literally going to be, you know, taken away in that exact way.
Buried forever. Yeah, buried forever.
Like when we get risen, you know, when we go in our resurrected bodies, we'll be non-corrupt and sinless. I mean,
that's
God
right.
For sins of the whole world, but we, having accepted him, will be able to go up to get perfect bodies and, you know, and everything. Just like the Lord, when he rose from the dead, his sins were just no longer there.
No longer the sins that he bear. He didn't take it with him. They're finished. They're done for. All right. Now, that was verse number what? Was it 8? Yeah, commend his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He died for sinners. And not just the elect, but for all sinners, the whole world. Did we read 9 yet?
Yes.
Oh, he did? Okay. Now, what does this much more mean? What does that add to the mixture here? Much more. Compared to what? Any hands on that? Much more. Yeah, Pat Albert.
Well, it's in addition to him having commended his love towards us and dying on the cross for us. All the other, there are more benefits to come.
All right. And what is coming after much more? What else did he do? What is it now, the situation for all those who trust in Christ? Tammy, and then Albert. Being now justified. What does justified mean?
Justified never.
Why? It means righteous in the sight of God. Completely made just, considered just by God, the blood. Being now justified by his blood. Now, Pastor Dan.
It's declaration, God's declaration.
God's declaration to be righteous. Now, in the Old Testament, what was true of the offerings of the lambs and other animals for sacrifice? Yeah, Paul and Joanne.
They had burnt offerings?
Sometimes. Joanne?
It had to be perfect. They had to be perfect, a perfect animal without blemish.
All right, Paul.
Could you
give Mel a bus, please? Bill, eyes in the back of the head. You told him a hump, right? You told him a hump?
Yes, Dad, I told him.
There's a big wheel there. Where's that wheel? Bill, there's big wheels. That's just a car.
Sometimes
it's
a truck out
there. Oh, it's just a truck, okay. It's a truck, but it's not the
people. There's two dogs out there, too.
Okay, well, will they be able to carry you, Paul, those two dogs?
Sure.
Okay. Nah. But what was the offerings of those lambs in Old Testament? What did they do with them? Yes.
All about the blood.
All right. They shed the blood. They took the blood of those offerings. And it was the blood that made people righteous in the Old Testament. Did they just have one offering in the Old Testament forever? No, hundreds and millions and millions. So, does the Roman Catholic churches have one offering?
No.
Yeah. What do they think about their mass?
They crucify Jesus over and over.
Over and over and over and over. How many times did Lord Jesus crucify?
Once.
Once. Does the Bible say that's enough? You got to do it over and over. No, it's finished. And so those churches that think you got to crucify, and make the cross in the mass, it's pagan. It's really pagan. So saved, and Christ died for sinners, and it says that's where we're now, justified by His blood. Now, what does the world think about the blood of Christ? And he hands on that, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, there'll be much of it in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 3, I guess. But in those things sacrificed, there was remembrance again made of sin every year. For it's not possible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest, not but a body thou hast prepared for me.
Special, purified body to prepare, so that he, righteous God, perfect man, could, by his own precious, sinless blood, forgive and pay for the sins of the whole world. It's amazing. And that's the Bible. And all the unbelievers, they don't think that's right at all. They think it's horrible, they're horrendous. They make fun of it, and they despise the blood of Christ. It's a sad thing. And once a month, we in our church remember that his death until he... till he comes. First Sunday of each month, this morning, we had the same celebration. He says, remember me till I come. Do this in remembrance of me and of my death. All right, so Christ died in our place for it. What's the word for mean? For. Two different meanings, but what is this word for? Yeah, Paul?
It means for all. It means for all.
All right, and what else? For. That word for. Yeah, Bill.
In place of.
In place of. Instead of us, in place of us, so that we don't have to die. He died for, in the behalf of us. Why this clicked off saying our time's up, but do you have any other comments or questions? Let's see, we stopped at verse 8. Do you have any comments or questions before we close? Had a lot of coverage today, didn't we? A lot of different topics. We appreciate that very much. Well, we'll take this up, Lord willing, next Sunday. Hope you all can be here. Sunday version. But any other comments or questions before we close it? If not, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for those that are here, those that are listening, those that called in, those that didn't call in but are listening all over the world. We thank You that we have this ability to branch out so that people could hear us and we could hear them and their talks and their discussions and their comments, their questions, things that they say. We pray that we may take with us the wonderful gift and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. He loved the whole world. And it's true, as Rebecca Howell said, it's true. He knew in advance that a very considerably, percentage-wise, very few of these whole sinners of the whole world would trust in his Savior. Yet he in his grace died for the sins of all of them and gives them an opportunity. Says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Thank Thee for Thy grace. Go with us, bring us back on Thursday for Bible study and prayer service, and go with us that we may be honoring our Savior who loved us and died for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you for coming.